If you have your Bibles, turn to Mark chapter 2. Anybody else with a song on your heart this morning? Maybe the Lord's leading you to sing. Give a testimony. All right, turn to Mark chapter 2 this morning. I've got to get out of this coat. I kept it on as long as I can take it now. It's been a beautiful week that the Lord has given us. And Wednesday nights we was talking about three different cities that Jesus entered into. And Capernaum being his adopted, kind of a second adopted home where he spent a lot of time, where he done a lot of works, and he done a lot of miracles trying to show them his love, trying to teach them about the way of Christ and to show them the way of the cross. But yet they didn't receive it. They didn't receive the works. They didn't hear the word. And it kind of reminds me of America today, the way that they are, a way a lot of people are about accepting Jesus as their Savior, or hearing the word of the message. A lot of folks today have religion, but they don't have salvation. And whenever you've just got religion, you don't have a whole lot. You don't have anything really to put any stock into, because if you don't have salvation, religion's not going to do you any good. There's many today that are banking on their religion to get them to heaven, but we got to have salvation through Jesus Christ. And what it takes for us to believe Jesus and trust Jesus is faith. Believing that Christ came to bleed and died on the cross of Calvary to give us salvation full and free, to pay our sin debt. And if there's so many today that don't have faith in Christ, they don't have faith in God. We've got faith in our government that they're going to know what they're doing. Boy, have they proved us wrong. We got faith in our elected officials that's in either the state or in the national spotlight, and they disappoint us all the time for their choices that they make and the lives that they lead and the things that they do. We have officials that's supposed to be godly men and women in places of leadership in our churches across the land and country, and they've disappointed us and they've failed us. But the one that never fails us, the one that's always faithful and true, is Christ. But yet we don't go to him when we need to. But this morning in Mark chapter 2, we're going to see that they were four friends of a man that had palsy, that had faith to believe that if they could get him to Jesus, that he could be healed, that he could be changed, that his life would be changed. Or do we still have that same commitment as Christians today to get our lost and dying, our sick, to Christ by whatever means necessary to get him in his presence? Do we spend time in prayer? Do we spend time concerned? Do we spend time thinking about someone besides ourselves? Donald Ball said this morning, whenever a man gets wrapped up in himself, he's got a small package. And that's so true, because there's so much more of this world that we need to impact and touch as Christians besides just our life. We need to touch the lost and dying. We need to touch those that are sick and take them Jesus. If they're not willing to come to him, let's take him to them that they might see. Now we see here this morning the faith of four that bore their friend as Jesus, as we're going to read this morning. It says now in chapter 2, verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. I hope that's what can be said about New Hope this morning, that Jesus is in the house. I hope you brought the Holy Spirit with you this morning. I hope you didn't wait to come to church to meet Jesus. I hope he's in your life, and I hope he's in your heart. But friend, if you're lost and you didn't bring him with you, thank God you can leave with him in your heart this morning, because Jesus loves you. As he entered back into Capernaum, he loved this city, and he brought to them the mighty works that he was doing to try to share his love with them. He's still doing the same thing today. He is working marvelous miracles still today. He's still in the saving business. And Christians, I hope you brought him with you this morning. You didn't wait to meet him here. You should have him in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And any place that you go, he should not be ashamed that you would go there, and you shouldn't be either, because it should be places that Christ would want you to be. There was noise that he was in the house this morning. Are we making noise outside of these walls that are letting people know that Jesus is still in the saving business? Are we telling people that Jesus is still in the miracle performing business today in this world that we live? How is our faith? We need to have a checkup and see where we're at with our walk with God, and how our faith is and our faith believing. And we need to continue to pray. And we've seen miracles happen. We have the evidence here. and we need to be telling others about it, that Jesus is doing it. Nothing that we can do except by our faith, believing that Christ is able. Now we see here that he had went into the city of Capernaum, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive him, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Let me tell you today, we don't have the same concern in people's hearts to be in the house of God. Why you say that, preacher? Because we got plenty of room this morning. We've got empty pews. We got places along the wall that people are not standing. We got room about the door for them to be able to come in. And there's still room in God's house. It reminds me of the message of the man who made a great supper and bade them to come in because all things were prepared. It's the same thing when we serve God. He's prepared everything. All we have to come in and do is reap the benefits of God, but yet we are rejecting it this morning. There are people that are staying out of the house of God because of something that happened 30 years ago. Shame on us if we get in that mentality. Let me tell you, we need to take it to Christ and turn it over to Him and forget that mess and get into serving God and fill His house, and that He can fill us with His presence. But there are many that were gathered together insomuch there was no room to receive them. I don't know where people get the idea that they've got to be good enough to go to church. God never told us to be good enough. He said, go, don't forsake yourself for the assembly of yourselves together. Come unto me, learn of me, take my yoke upon you because it is easy. My burden will be light. He tells us those things, but yet we make it hard. Well, I've got to quit doing this. I've got to quit doing that. I've got to quit watching this on TV. I've got to quit talking like this. I've got to quit drinking this. Let me tell you, you come to know Jesus, and He'll give you the help that you can do all that. Amen. He'll give you a desire. But He preached the Word unto them because He was the Word. The Word made flesh. He was the authority. And it says, and they came unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. I done a demonstration here one Sunday a few years back when I preached this message. Had someone lay down on the floor and had four come up and pick them up and then took one away. And have them, the other three try to carry and then take another one away and let them try to carry. The burden gets heavier. Let's carry the burden together. As these four came together, they bore their friend on his couch that was sick to where Jesus was. Don't wait for someone else to carry the burden. Don't wait for the preacher to carry the burden. Don't wait for the deacon board to carry the burden. Don't wait for the Sunday school teacher to carry the burden. Don't wait for the older ones that's more experienced with Christ to carry the burden. God don't set no age limit on being able to be faithful to God. God don't set no age limit on having faith to believe that something can be done in God. He said for us to have faith believing. He didn't say you had to be 12 years old or older for that to be accomplished. If we had the faith of some children around here that believe things can happen and they can do things, let me tell you, as Christians, we could move mountains. But our faith and our most of the time our experience with what happens in the world and how lives are, that hinders us from just having faith to believe. Faith to believe. They came unto Him bringing one sick. How faithful are we to bring our sick? How faithful are we to bring our lost? We may mention it from time to time in passing, but how faithful are we to continue to lift their name up to God? How faithful are we to continue to keep them in the presence of Jesus in our prayers? And when they could not come nigh unto Him for the press. Now, we give up easily, don't we? Sometimes we get a little adversity. Somebody says, are you really going to go to church all them nights for revival? You really going to go all that time for vacation Bible school? You going to go every Sunday and on Wednesday night too? Is that preacher fanatical or what? He expects us to be at church. I don't expect you. God does. I like to see you come in. Worries me when people don't come in. I think it's the preacher's fault. Everything else is. But they could not come in for the press. Could not come in for the press. Now today, a lot of people would just give up. Well, it's not worth the trouble. You know, the door's shut and there's people in there and it's standing room only. There's no way we can get there to where he's at. we might as well just quit. These fellows didn't have that desire. They had a desire to get to Jesus. It says, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now I want to ask you something. This morning, I'm always telling you we need to build up. We need to lift up. We need to lift up the church. We need to lift up each other. But I'm wondering this morning if you're willing to be in some deconstruction. Are you willing to tear down some barriers that are standing in our way of reaching the lost? Are you willing to go that extra mile to get to Jesus, to bring them to Jesus, whatever it takes? Are we willing this morning to tear down the barriers that are hindering us from reaching Christ for our friends that are lost? These gentlemen could have given up. It would have been easy. It was in our nature to give up when it's a little hard, sometimes just to give up. It's not worth it. We have so many that have low standards. They don't set high targets for their life. Oh, well, you know, my daddy done this, his daddy done this, I've got to do this. Why do we limit ourselves? We are all individuals saved by the grace of God. We need to live up to the potential that God wants us to reach to, not what we set for ourselves. Do you think I was sitting back in a congregation one day saying, I'm going to be a preacher? That's the last thing I wanted to be. Never entered my mind that God would ever use me to do this. But God had other plans. God had other plans. Someone reached heaven in prayer for me to get saved. And when I was saved, then He used me. He gave me talents and abilities. I couldn't, like I said before, I couldn't play the guitar before I was saved. I wanted to. The banjo, there's too many things goes on there. There may be five strings on it, but it's like 100 when you're trying to play it and do it right. And there was a lot of racket come out of that thing. And the fiddle, oh boy. And mandolin, there was a lot of pain comes from playing a mandolin. But finally, whenever I got saved, I wanted to do it for another reason. I wanted to be able to play to sing in church. And God gave me the ability to be able to play the guitar. But God will build you up if you're willing to get tore down. Sweetly broken. If we're so tough that God can't enter into our heart, He can't use us. If God can't use us and mold us and make us and shape us into what He needs us to be, we're unable to be used. But these men, they didn't give up. Don't give up. If God's put something in your heart, don't let someone else hinder you from reaching the potential that God's got for you. We don't know what God's got in store for each one of us. But God's got a plan. And if we give up before we reach that plan that God's got for our life, He may have to give it to someone else and use them to accomplish what you're supposed to. You don't think it'll happen? You remember the story of the talents? And the one that hid his, it was taken and given to the one that made more, had used his talents and made more talents. God will bless us if we're willing to be torn down and rebuilt in His image to be used of God. But they took the one that was there and on his couch that was sick. They broke up the roof and led him down to where Jesus was. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, He said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, you say, well, this man was sick with the palsy. He didn't say nothing about his sin. Where do you think sickness comes from? It comes from the original sin that came in the Garden of Eden. That's where all sickness goes back to. All cancer, all heart problems, all palsy, all things, diabetes, high blood pressure. All these things goes right back to that original sin in the Garden of Eden. All sin. All sickness. They said, thy sins be forgiven thee. But they couldn't receive that. Who is this? Telling this man his sins forgiven. He's sick. Can't he see that? You know, sometimes you hide your sickness very well. Sometimes people try to live a life that is just so perfect and so Christ-like that you'd think they were. That they were saved. But only Jesus and they know the exact heart. That they're just trying to live the life. But there's still that original sin that's there. That is separation. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone, but God only? They didn't see Christ. Though he performed many miracles, he had been in Capernaum, like I said. This was his second home. He went there and done mighty works, mighty miracles, taught them the word, preached them the word, but still yet, they didn't see. They didn't see. How many miracles have happened in America through the years that we do not see today because we are not looking back to the history of what God done for America? We have lost our vision. We have lost our sight. We have lost our anchor. And we are drifting in a world of sin, and it's just getting worse because the storms are raging, and God wants to be that anchor for America again, and we must return to Him. Because He's done many mighty works for America. And we must return and walk in His way. And immediately when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they were reasoning within themselves, He said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? Why? Why do you complicate this? Why can't you hear what I'm saying? Why can't you see what I am doing? Why do you keep going back to the old way? Still today, that's a message. Why do we hold on to the past and can't turn loose and go to the future? Live in this present because that's what it is. And my kids always laugh at me for quoting that panda. I think it was a panda or a turtle on Kung Fu Panda. Today is a present because it is a present. Treat it as such. But it will be over today. And tomorrow is our future and it will be here and will be another present. But we must turn loose of the past so that we can go forward in service to God. Don't hold on to the old things and the old way of holding on to things that's happened in the past that's not releasing us to serve God. Don't release His Word. Hold on to that. Let it be your anchor. Don't hold on to traditions and customs that have got us bound down. But serve God. It's okay if we serve Him today. We don't need to reason our hearts and make it complicated. We need to serve God. Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. What's easier? What's easier? Sometimes we find the easy way out too, don't we? They were saying, you know, he's sick. He don't need sins forgiven. He needs to be able to walk, and he needs to be able to quit shaking, and he needs to be able to get up and off that bed, and that's what he's in need of. But truly, that sickness is an underlying thing. Our salvation is what we need. Our salvation. I've got diabetes. I've got high blood pressure. I've got cholesterol. I reckon I must be a catch-all for anything that comes along. Need glasses because of the diabetes. And all these other things that happen to these old bodies. And I found out when you're 44 and trying to play tennis, and it's probably been 20 years since you did it, it hurts a lot worse. Amen. I don't care how much you play it on the Wii. When you go out on that court, it's a different feeling. So if I'm walking funny, that's the reason. And I told him next year when we played again, maybe I'd be in better shape. Amen. But what's it easier to say to those that are sick? Your sins be forgiven you, or rise, take up thy bed and walk. Is it easy for us to make a commitment to be in God's house? Sometimes it's not. We should count it a privilege. Sometimes other things happen. And then Satan will give us an excuse the next time. Say, oh, you know, you really are tired this morning. You've worked all week. You've been out of town. You vacationed all week, and you just got back last night, and you know, you really shouldn't go to church this morning because you need to rest. But there's no sweeter rest than in God's house. In God's house. But what's easier? Is it easy to tell someone that they're lost? that they need Jesus. Sometimes it's not, because if you truly love them, that's a hard discussion to have with them. But through love, it should help you to be able to share Christ with them. Will they always receive it? No. They may reject it, but you have to tell them. You have to tell them. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, and saith, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. So to prove to him that he had the authority, he spoke those words. And 2 or 3 days later, says, no. It says, and immediately, didn't wait to check the status of his insurance, didn't wait to see if it was going to be a pre-existing condition. He knew it was. He knew the man had been sick because Christ knew it all. He knew it all. He knew we'd be here today, just the way that we're gathered. It says, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. Why? Because of their faith. Because of their faith. They had never seen it on this fashion. Another place it says, we've seen some strange things today. I believe that was over in Luke 5. The strange happenings that's taking place today. It shouldn't be strange in the house of God to see and hear about miracles. It should be commonplace in God's house of the miracles that take place. We shouldn't let it be something new that someone hears about when we know that there's a miracle that's happened. We should be telling them and spreading the news that God is still on the throne. God is still performing miracles. God is still powerful. God is still able. God is still able. Hollywood's not took him off his throne. All the naysayers can't take him off his throne. All the other religions of the world can't take him off his throne, because he is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, champion of all time. Amen. Never been defeated, never will be defeated. Amen. From everlasting to everlasting, the bright and morning star. Our Jesus, our Savior. There's going to be a glorious day when we walk in His presence in heaven and be able to bow and be able to thank Him for all that He's done for us. And He went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto Him, and He taught them. And He taught them. What's the most important thing? Now listen, we need to have the courage and the faith and the strength to bring those that are lost and sick to Jesus. We need to have the desire and the drive to break down any barriers that might separate us from getting to where Christ is at. We need to believe and trust Him that He is still able to perform the miracle that we are trying to get our friend or loved one or our enemy to, for Jesus to perform that miracle in their life, whether it's salvation or healing for the body or financial needs, whatever it might be, to believe that God is able still to do that. And when He delivers and we see the evidence, that we walk and talk and tell others about it, and then we allow Jesus to teach us, just as He did with them, as He walked with them still, as those that saw what took place stayed with Him and followed Him. They allowed Him to teach them His Word. Teach them His Word. After this, we see that He goes on and calls Levi, or Matthew, the tax collector, to be one of His disciples. He's still calling today. As well as teaching, as well as performing miracles, He's still calling today to the lost and dying world for salvation. And through those that are saved, He's still calling teachers. He's still calling song leaders. He's still calling Sunday school teachers, deacons, and preachers. He's still calling because there's a work still to be done. And we must be prepared. There's a message I may preach sometime, the Lord allows it, on God's toolbox and the tools that's there that we need to use, that we would be on the job. In that toolbox, there's a plant. There's a plan, a blueprint, a plan of salvation, God's Word. Sometimes it's a hammer. Sometimes it's a saw. Sometimes it's a wrench. But all the time, it's exactly what we need. But are we willing this morning to break down those barriers? That we'll get our friends and loved ones, our enemies, to Jesus. Don't let pride stand in your way. Don't let, "Well, I've never done that before," be an excuse. How many times do you think Christ went to the cross before He went? One time only. And that's all He had to go. But He knew what He must do. God is telling His people what we must do. And it's time that we do it. It's time that we do it. Let's break down the walls of separation that's separating us from reaching those that are lost. And take God's Word to them. Allow God to work the miracle. And when the evidence is there, share it with everyone. And let God teach you. This morning, as I get a song prepared of invitation, friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, He loves you. Christians that are here praying, I pray you're praying for those. You're breaking down those walls this morning, that you're tearing up the roof, that you are bringing people in to let down before Jesus, that He can see their need. He already knows their need. He knows everyone's need. But He wants to see your faith in action. Faith in action. Will you put it in action this morning? Will you break down those walls? Will you take just a few seconds maybe and even walk to this altar? Maybe you've not been here in a while. Maybe that's one of the obstacles you need to break down. I don't know. But God does, and you do. This morning, as we give the invitation, whatever your need might be, bring it to this altar. As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Friend, are you here this morning and you're lost? Jesus wants to save you. Will you come? Will you come and ask Jesus to be your Savior? There's Christians already in the altar praying for you, praying for what they're in need of, but praying that you'll get saved. Will you come and allow God to work a miracle in your life today? There are people that are willing to break down the walls, tear up the roof, and be willing to let God use them for you this morning. They love you. Jesus loves you and died for you. And He wants to save you this morning. But will you come? Will you come? Now the four that bore their friend could have brought an empty bed, because he could not have been willing either to have went. Friend, there's people praying for you that are bearing you up before Christ this morning. Are you willing to listen to Him speak to your heart? It's not His will that any should perish. He don't want you to die and go to hell. That's why He gave His life for you. You must receive Him. Will you come? Will you come? Maybe you just lift your hand and say, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. I know there's people praying, but I just don't have the faith yet to step out. Pray for me that God will increase my faith. I'll be glad to. I'll pray for you. I'd rather pray with you, but I'll be glad to pray for you." If you just acknowledge God's dealing with your heart, wherever you might be, God loves you. His Son loves you. This church loves you. I want you to release that sin to Jesus. Let Him cover it. Christians, are we willing to break up the roofs this morning? Are we willing to tear down the walls of separation that's separating us from reaching Christ for our friends and our loved ones? Do we give up easy? If we've give up and we've set back, we've not done what God's put on our heart to do, this altar's open. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask you to come, that your faith may be increased, that you'll be on fire for God and have faith believing that there's nothing that God can't do. Will you come? Will you come? God's dealing with your heart. Will you come? Will you come? One more verse and then we're going to pray. God's dealing with your heart this morning. I want to give you the opportunity to come. Will you come? This altar's open. It's level ground at the foot of the cross. Don't make it an uphill battle. Just come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus. He's waiting. Arms wide open. Will you come? Will you come? You may be seated as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we see that some have come, dear Heavenly Father, and are pouring out their heart upon the altar this morning to you. God, I pray that you would answer their prayers. And Lord, we pray if there's any lost here this morning, God, that they would receive you before it's everlasting too late. There's responsibility that you give to us as Christians to share you with others. Dear God, we don't want to one day hear someone say, you never mentioned him to me. God, we want everyone to know about Jesus, about his saving power. We want to tear down those walls that's separating people. We want to break up the roofs that we can get our lost and dying, dear God, and our sick to where Jesus is at, that he can speak to them, speak to their illness, speak to their sin condition, and that they will see him, and that he can tell them to arise, take up their bed, and walk. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Such blessed words to hear from one that loves us so much. God, we pray for those, dear Heavenly Father, that are here, that are bringing sicknesses, bringing family members, bringing the lost, whatever might be their heart's desire, dear God, that you answer according to your will. We know that your will is a perfect will. And help us to submit to your perfect will and not put ours before yours, but that we would be silent and listen as you speak to us in a small, still voice to lead our lives and to guide our lives, that we can be great men and women of God, reaching people for you, that you may be seen and we'll be forgotten, but that your love, your power, your strength, your might, your love, your forgiveness would go out and that your light would so shine in this world. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your commitment to the lost and dying, that you haven't quit yet saving, that your power, your blood is still sufficient even today. Lord, we pray for those that despitefully use you, that use your name in vain, that seem to have no concern, no cares. Dear God, those that make fun of you and laugh at you and laugh at your son, that persecute your people, we know that you've told us that you was persecuted first and that we would be for our beliefs and what you have done and what you have accomplished. But God, we pray for those, we pray for our enemies, dear God, that you might turn them into our fellow companions in Christ. And God, we thank you for loving us when we were unlovable, for your salvation that was provided for each and every one of us on the cross of Calvary that day, and for coming in and signing my pardon because I was on death's row, but you came in and set me free. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask Jamie.